The ministry of Mario Murillo has been marked by miracles and signs and wonders all the way back to the Jesus movement of the 1970s. After a long and fruitful ministry, his ministry exploded on the national scene during the COVID lockdowns when he held tent revivals in California that were attended by thousands, including those who traveled from all over the country. The crowds were not just defying the COVID-era mandates not to meet for religious services. There was a spiritual stirring, a longing for something supernatural. And while many ministries pulled back during COVID and were timid in the face of cancel culture, Mario Murillo saw his ministry explode and has continued to grow after COVID, and even now the ministries continue. Mario has been a guest on my podcast many times, and I invited him back to talk about these verifiable miracles that he's seeing and how that relates to what God is saying to this generation and how it affects your own life, especially if you're believing for your own miracle. Stay tuned for my interview with evangelist Mario Murillo. Mario, first of all, thank you for fitting this interview in. I want to talk to you today about the miracles, which I've been covering for many years. There are many who don't believe in miracles. There's some people in the church who say they believe in miracles, but they never see any. And of course, there are some charlatans in some circles who actually fake miracles. I want you to tell me what you see happening in your tent meetings with these verifiable miracles that you're seeing.
Well, first of all, what a joy to be back with you, my brother. And I always love our times together to speak honestly, forthrightly. Yes, you are correct. In our tent, there are physical miracles happening. And I want to tell you that the work of the Holy Spirit is in the earth in a mighty way, has never changed. You and I have had a very unique opportunity to watch the years and decades of the move of God in America. What we're watching now is startling healings that happened even to non-Christians under the tent. In fact, I believe we're going to have an example of one later on in the show, a young lady that was practically at death's door that was studying Buddhism, New Age, trying to find truth, trying to find an answer, and she was dramatically healed. These miracles are coming because the Bible is being preached. I truly believe that there are two dynamics that are releasing these healings. One is the faithful preaching of the cross and what Christ died to give us, the atonement. And the second is an absolute surrender to the Holy Spirit as a real person who is in operation and in charge of the event.
Well, we have a clip of that miracle that happened. It's actually a part of a documentary that's going to come out as a movie not too long. So let's watch it, and then I'm going to ask you to explain what we just saw.
This thing that's been growing inside of you is dying by the power of God right now.
She just started getting weaker and weaker, and the next thing you know, I mean, she's in bed for years, and it feels like her whole life's passing her by.
Like, all dreams stopped. Any capacity to be able to take care of myself stopped. I would crawl to the bathroom sometimes.
It was hard to witness her physical condition just decline daily.
When I looked at her, I was gripped by what was happening to her.
I am on the floor and I'm shrieking. I'm feeling this thing as illness, as a substance more real than my skin in that moment. I'm feeling it coming out of my body in waves. The love that came into my body was so strong that the illness couldn't exist there anymore, like it had to get out.
It's a miracle.
And God said that I want you to get a tent and you'll see miracles.
Wow, that's incredible. Mario, explain what we just saw and also tell us the backstory behind behind it.
Yeah, I think the backstory is very powerful. She is a young woman that, through a toxic shock condition that affected her immune system, her intestines, her body began to consume itself. She is a young lady that is 5'10" and went to down to 94 pounds. And when she was at the tent, they wheeled her in. And something came over her, Steve, that she couldn't take it anymore. And she forced her way to the front, poured herself out of this wheelchair onto the ground, and began shrieking. And it was the power of God removing this hideous disease from her body. And she got up, she stood up, she could walk. This thing was so completely consuming her body that her motor skills were affected, her balance, her ability to even have any kind of energy at all. And when that miracle happened, it was so violent, so complete, and it is so amazing that we caught it on film. And you saw the before and after. Within a few weeks, she had regained 30 pounds of her weight. She was back to her normal weight, completely healed, on fire for God, and she was converted to Christ right at that same moment. She's being healed and saved in the same moment.
Well, that's incredible, and I've seen that clip a couple of times, and I'll admit that I almost had to remind myself that the same lady who was giving the testimony was the one that we saw on the ground shrieking just because she had changed so much. Why do you think that you see so many miracles in your ministry, and what was your motivation behind doing this documentary? Because, Mario, there are many people who just totally discount miracles.
Yes.
or to think that there's some kind of fraud or that miracles are not for today.
Well, I truly believe that Psalm 40, verse 10, really burns in my spirit. It says, I have not withheld your mighty acts from the great congregation. We have an obligation, and a verse in the New Testament says, providing all things honest before God and man. The essential truth of the matter is that if God is healing, we need to know, and we need to see it, we need to investigate it. And my feeling is that I am influenced, as I know you are, by Miss Kuhlman, Catherine Kuhlman. And anyone watching that doesn't know that name is indeed deprived of a very wonderful truth. She was a remarkable person because she brought the medical community. Often in her meetings, there would be dozens of surgeons, doctors, nurses filling the front rows because they knew that something real was happening. And rather than being antagonistic toward healing, many of these medical professionals were relieved to know that these things were happening. And you know, Johns Hopkins University instituted in their medical school under the era of Miss Kuhlman. I'm not going to say she did it, but it sure is a major coincidence that while she was traveling across the United States, that Johns Hopkins University instituted a class on laying on of hands for doctors. So now what we have, unfortunately, is a hostile spirit that has gotten into the medical community. And it's happened since the lockdown, since the mask and the vaccination. There is a spirit. And so I have a challenge that Catherine didn't have. There is more overt hostility toward the miraculous. So it is an act of courage on our part to produce a documentary. It's going to be called I Am Living Proof, and we're working to put it in the theaters, maybe as many as 800 theaters, in which you will see not just a documentary, it's not a cold, dry story. These are three people that have all been undeniably healed by the power of God. I am a small part of that feature, by the way. Their stories are very compelling, and they're done with excellence. And sometimes it's a separate story to tell how that film came about. But to answer your question directly, God is healing today, and it's not just important to prove it's real. We also need to expose the frauds. And that's what Paul did. You see, there's this unspoken rule that we're supposed to be nice and be sweet. Paul never agreed with that. You know, he believed, and he told the Ephesian elders, he said, when I leave, wolves are coming, and they're not going to spare the sheep. Well, he's relying on an emotion. There is no deeper emotion than what a shepherd in the wild has about wolves appearing to destroy their sheep. And that's the way ministers need to be. We need to stand for truth. And at this moment, it's coming at us from two directions. And I'm going to stop my answer because I'm going too long here. Number one is the skeptical world, the secular world, which is really very biased against it. And secondly, a segment in the body of Christ that believes these miracles have stopped. And what a strange confederation that is to be a part of helping the world deny that miracles are real today. And it is very strange, but we are going to meet them both head on, and we believe God has led us to do it.
Well, you've always been strong to speak up for truth, going all the way back to Resurrection City at Berkeley back in the 70s. And more recently, you've commented about false prophecies. In fact, you and I have done a couple of podcasts on that.
Yes.
But I want to talk to you about this bias, mainly in the media, not just the medical profession, but the media, against miracles. And there's an example in the Bible in Acts chapter 4 that I want to ask you about, because it's right. A very famous, very public miracle that happened. So expound on that, please.
Okay, real quickly, you need to understand that the anti-miracle spirit has been in the earth since the beginning. And why would that be? First of all, you got to ask yourself, and this is addressing what you've said about Acts chapter 4 directly. Satan hates miracles because they are confirming signs that cause people to be healed. The man at the gate beautiful, for example, had as many people converted by his testimony as were converted on the day of Pentecost, even though it's only one chapter apart. Think about that. And it says that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, many believed because of him. So miracles are a vital aspect of the gospel. David Wilkerson said the gospel is not fully preached without miracles. And that is exactly right. So therefore, in Acts chapter 4, you need to see the bias of the media in the book of Acts. These men saw that the man was healed. And in the fourth chapter, they say, what are we going to do with these men? Because indeed, a notable miracle, that's what they called it, a notable miracle has happened, and it is known to all the people, and we cannot deny it. So when a healing becomes undeniable, the media is still going to reject it. And so imagine that sentence. I'm going to repeat it so that everyone will think about this. Indeed, a notable miracle has happened, and all the people know it, and we cannot deny it. Therefore, now imagine anyone else, any human being in the world that would say, wow, somebody was just healed, and it's medically verified. The next statement they would make would be, let's all open our hearts and spread the news that these healings are real. Their reaction was this, therefore, that it spread no further, meaning we know it's real, but we don't want it to spread any further. And that's because of the loss of power and the loss of money. That is the spirit of the age we're living in. Truth does not matter to the elite forces that are woke in America. Truth doesn't matter. Facts don't matter. And what the only thing that matters is it a threat to our agenda? They could literally see a miracle that's undeniable and still fight it and still deny it. That's why we who preach have got to understand, I'm not really here to take that media individual and try to convert them. There are millions out there that are suffering, that come to our tent. They sit in the tent. They have cancer. They have diabetes. They have children who are sick. And they are looking at Christ. And we cannot allow the anger, the viciousness, and the undeniable evil of this elite ruling group to stop us. And I refuse to do it. And I think that's why God has honored us and given us not only crowds that are coming from everywhere, but an amazing demonstration of the power of God.
You know, I want to talk to you about what's going on in the culture, because your ministry for many years has spanned, and you've seen a lot of things, from the riots in the 60s and 70s and the various scandals that have happened over the years, and the culture becoming more and more woke, as you just referred to. Now you have a huge platform, not only in your tents, but on the Victory Channel and doing media like this. And so my question is, Mario, what do you think the Lord is saying during this period that will help our viewers and listeners?
You know, I'm actually writing a blog, is what is the right thing to say to America right now? And I'm going to tell you that there was a man who reacted to bad news so violently that nobody in history ever reacted to bad news like any more than this man. It drove him to his knees and he began to cry out, and he saved a nation. That is what we need. And who is that person? It was Ezra. In the 9th chapter of the book of Ezra, one man's voice was so piercing, so compelling, so irresistible, so paralyzingly poignant and plaintive that the men around him and the people in the audience began to cry. America needs that right now, desperately. America needs desperately for there to come a voice, voices in pulpits, in media, that will stand up and literally declare the will of God. You remember when Hillary Clinton called the Trump supporters a basket of deplorables? Well, she says that cost her the election, and she's probably right. But what came out of that was a rule. You never condemn an entire group or anybody's base, and I'll explain why I'm saying this. The reason that that's so important is that pastors no longer talk about national sin. Now, what does it say in Isaiah 58? Tell Israel her transgressions and declare her sins to her. The last voice that we had like that was Billy Graham. Billy Graham would stand up and tell America, you've turned your back on God. We don't hear that today. And the reason we don't, Stephen, is because there is this misguided belief that we're supposed to be nice about certain things. I think it's kind of a surprise when people walk into the tent and we deal with sin head on. We deal with perversion head on. We give biblical imperatives about morals and family and God and hell. But all that does is amplify the power of the Holy Spirit. So what America needs to hear today is this. There's a message for the church. There's a message for the nation. The message to the church is quit copping out by saying that all of these problems of America are in God's hands. God has set up a system to use prayer to save nations. He looks for people. He has put upon himself restraints to work through people. And anybody that believes we're just going to come out of this, we can turn our back on Israel, we can honor perversion and leave marriage behind and think there's no consequence and open our borders and all of that, then there's the other side. The world needs to know that they are lost. There needs to be preaching that stands up and says, America, you have got to repent because you are under judgment. You know what John Calvin said? When God judges a nation, he judges them by giving them wicked rulers. We're under a wicked ruler because judgment has already begun. It's already here. And we think that there's some inherent insulation against destruction, that America can't be destroyed because there's something unique about us. That is absolutely false security. That's why the message of this hour is, church, wake up, because you have a role in saving this nation that no one else has. Number two, if you think you're a nobody, you better stop and listen. God is raising up no-name people, looking for a way to use them in an extraordinary manner in a dark time. And the other message is, America, you are racing toward destruction. You are racing toward destructions, and you need to repent. And so these prophets that you mentioned that I called out, why aren't they speaking to national sin? They're making predictions about things that don't even matter. And they're missing all of the predictions that do matter. None of them saw the invasion of Israel by Hamas. None of them spoke to what was going to happen to Trump and the prosecution in New York. All of them missed all of the anything that truly affects us. These prophets are missing it. But the things that do affect us in the Word of God are being overlooked. And men and women of God have got to get back and have a private Garden of Gethsemane to say to God, what do you want me to preach in this hour? Because the nation is on the brink, and this is no time to play.
Well, Mario, I believe that you're one of the voices that the Lord is raising up. And what you say is very serious, and I believe it's true. But also, you recently published a book that I found hopeful. The title of it is called It's Our Turn Now, and it's published by Charisma. Why did you write that book, and how do you believe that the message is so relevant now?
I believe that 2 years ago, when that message hit me, It's Our Turn Now, which is a book I'd really highly recommend, and I thank you for publishing it, that book says what's going on now. It said it 2 years ago. It's precisely where we are right now. And I'm going to explain where we are. This may be the last Pride Month, this one right here. It may be the last one. Already 10 NFL teams have refused to recognize it. Major corporations that sponsored it last year aren't. I was in preaching in California on June the 1st. There was not a pride flag that I could find anywhere. So there's something going on, and we're people are sick of it. What I've found is that woke has made people vulnerable to Christ, and there's a massive harvest. We're going to tell you that in our meetings, for every 5 people that come forward to receive Christ, we only have 1 worker. And we try to have hundreds of workers, but people want God on a scale I have not seen since the Jesus movement. But the book is not simply about how many people want God today. It's about the most awesome and in some ways sobering reality. The church now has its turn. It's our turn to influence the culture. Woke is fading out. A vacuum is being left. This is a perfect opportunity. And there's another movement rising up, Steve, that I think is really key. Churches are moving away from entertainment-based Sunday morning worship. They're getting back to the narratives and the organic Christian values that cause the Holy Spirit to work. Because people now are finding the right reason to go to church. We've appealed to the very wrong reasons to go to church. Now there's a right reason. I want to know God. I don't want to feel good. I want to become good. And it's a deeper yearning for the presence and the Word of God. The presence of God, the Word of God. So our obligation, and that's what this book outlines, it's a manual to help you grasp this hour that we're in. And it's not going to stay. It's going to pass. So we got to act now.
I think that's so important. And as we wrap up this short podcast, I want to ask you How is what you're saying relate to the viewer or listener who maybe needs a miracle? Maybe they're believing God for a miracle, but they've never had it. So what would you say to them? And then also, I'm going to ask you as we end the podcast to pray for those who are watching.
Well, it's a privilege to answer that question and to be allowed to pray for this audience. If you are seeking healing, I want to cut through all the noise. I'm going to try to take a very deep subject and say in a few moments what you need to do. Healing comes out of mercy. God wants to heal you. And one of the most powerful healing verses is in Romans 8, verse 32. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, along with him also, freely give us all things? God has already given you the ultimate gift of salvation. There's no greater gift. He can't give you anything more than his name, and he's done that. That's why healing is very, very doable and very much to be expected. I'm not going to stand here and answer why everybody isn't healed. I'm going to rather use the time wisely to tell you God wants to heal you. And you come to him in mercy. And in a powerful moment, there's this thing that where God imparts faith. It's something Miss Kuhlman taught so vividly. You wait, and Christ is the author and finisher of faith. He puts faith in you. And Peter even said this in Acts 3 when they asked him how the man was healed. He said, through faith, Acts 3:16, and through faith this man stands before you whole. Yes, the faith that comes through him has made him whole. The faith will come through him to you to receive your healing. But it's mercy. And when you come humbly and broken, the Bible says he will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. And the heart of God is toward you in your illness right now. He is for you to receive.
And now will you pray for the viewers?
Father, I thank you that there are so many watching right now that love America. They love this country. Lord, wake them up and show them that they are not bystanders, but that they could be equipped by the Spirit of God to do a miracle for this nation. And secondly, Lord, you know every individual who is tuned in right now that needs a healing. And I'm going to ask you to give them a miracle, a mighty supernatural healing. Let the record of multiple miracles around the world, those reports, Lord, let them come in as a result of this podcast. And we give all the glory to Jesus Christ and no one else. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Mario Murillo. Be sure to pick up his book, It's Our Turn Now, wherever books are sold online, including mycharismashop.com. Be sure to connect with Mario's ministry at mariomurillo.org. Or attend one of his conferences, one of his tent crusades. The next one is in Batavia, New York, June 20th through 23rd. And if you don't subscribe to the Strang Report, be sure to do it. Hit the little bell so you'll be notified every time we're live on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next time, thank you for watching, and God bless you.